If knowledge is power, and it is, then all knowledge is all power, and he is God. At this place, all things are possible. If I had all knowledge, I would never be sick because I would create a remedy. I would never grow old and die because all knowledge would have constructed a solution. Watch all knowledge in action. Revelation 21, 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Through childlike faith in the God of faith, we can participate in all knowledge. The Bible teaches that God knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In a small, very, yet very large way, the born again participate in all knowledge. For example, knowing their end from the beginning. The Word of God teaches the children of faith that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, all of their children were spiritually stillborn, dead, in trespasses and sins. That was our beginning. Once we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of our sins, and turned our hearts to righteousness, we were quickened, made alive by the Holy Ghost, and given the promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In a small, yet very large way, the children of faith know their end from the beginning. Have you been born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Will today be the day when all your questions begin to be answered? Will today be your day to participate in all knowledge? It surely can be. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God said, Romans 1, 21 and 22, Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God said, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 29, Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. God said, Jeremiah 51, 34, Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Man said, To imagine that the ancient writings of the Bible could compete with today's sophisticated science is simply absurd. Thoughts that only children would entertain. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature article 783, a feature that will once again confirm the inerrancy of God's Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as bait for the fishers of men. Thank you for coming today. May God's face shine upon you and yours with light and truth. God's Word calls it the deceivableness of unrighteousness, and it is a deadly spiritual pandemic that peaks during the great seven-year tribulation period that culminates at the Battle of Armageddon, which marks the end of this world as we know it. This time of God's judgment upon sin and all those who embrace its lies appears to be imminent. Several weeks ago, prior to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia's death, a carnal skeptic wrote that the justice was afflicted with FDS. That stands for faith derangement syndrome. The judge was ridiculed for saying that the society of man goes back about 5,000 years, suggesting a young creation and universe. God said man said created the malady for the camp of the unbelievers, douse, deceivableness of unrighteousness syndrome, and this one is truly deadly. The law of first occurrence, a law foundational to etymology, the study of words and language, says that the definition of a word is established by its first use. God speaks to Abraham, the father of faith, in Genesis 15, 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham's faith in God and Abraham's following actions based on his faith was counted to him for righteousness. The first occurrence of the word righteousness is in the passage just quoted. Unrighteousness is, on the other hand, the thoughts and deeds that are the result of unbelief. The deceivableness, the blinding power to deceive of unrighteousness is truly staggering, blocking man from the goodness of his Creator. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is a faith God. Without faith, it is impossible to open the doors of God's bounty. Evolutionary doctrine has replaced God in man's halls of education. There is no more need for God, our Creator. Their position is time and chance is sufficient to sweep away God once and for all. We simply exploded out of nothing, and here we are. This feature will clearly display the deceivableness of unrighteousness. We will pull God said, man said research from various features and then lay down a new marvel for your consideration. God said, man said, talking dinosaurs. Carnal man's science has rejected the house of faith, replacing it with their universities and museums of unbelief. When arriving at their museums, instead of being greeted by the Word of God and His Christ, as one should expect at the house of God, one meets Tyrannosaurus Rex and his companions. According to evolutionists, the dinosaur roamed the earth for millions of years, dying out 65 million years ago. Contrast that statement with the Bible's 6,000 plus years. Someone is not correct. Before 1841, the word dinosaur was not in the English lexicon. A British scientist by the name of Richard Owens coined it from two Greek words, dinos and sauros, which simply mean terrible lizard. A dinosaur is an oversized lizard reptile. Prior to 1841, dinosaurs were known in the scriptures and by man as dragons, leviathan, behemoth, cockatrice, fiery flying serpents, and so on. Yes, the scriptures, ancient history, societal records, paleontology, and archaeology boldly declare and point to a time when man and the terrible lizard lived side by side. A few high points from God said, man said features dealing with dinosaurs follow. The Bible is full of dragons, fiery flying serpents, the cockatrice, behemoth, leviathan, and more. Fearsome creatures of colossal size with some that actually breathe fire. Prior to the flood in the days of Noah, man lived 13 times longer than he does today. A reptile never stops growing. An old serpent is a large one. It is true that as they age, they grow more slowly. But imagine a pre-flood, oxygen-rich atmosphere with perfect food, perfect water, perfect air. Now imagine the Chinese iguana that can reach 12 feet in length. He would be 156 feet long and 2-plus stories tall. Dinosaur records are found all over the world. England alone has 216 sites of dinosaur activity with numerous places named after these creatures. Places such as Dragon's Green, Sharp Flight Meadow, Dragon Horde, and others. The dragon represents 1 month of the Chinese calendar, with all 11 of the other months represented by regular, everyday creatures. Ancient petroglyphs, rock carvings, depict dinosaur-like creatures. Ancient pictographs, cave paintings attested dinosaurs living contemporaneously with man. Records hailing back to just a few hundred years ago mentioned dinosaur-like creature activity and read like a police blotter. The mysterious ancient Ica stone shout yes to the dinosaur within the history of man. Soft tissue found in purported 65-million-year-old dinosaurs shocked the world of evolution to the core. How could it be? Their greeter at the local museum, their Goliath, has been toppled over and over again, but they continue to prop him back up. They must cling. Concerning the long age claims of pseudoscience, Albert Engels had this to say regarding apparent human footprints in rock in the periodical Scientific American. If man, or even his ape ancestor, or even that ape ancestor's early mammalian ancestor existed as far back as the Carboniferous period in any shape, then the whole science of geology is so completely wrong that all the geologists will resign their jobs and take up truck driving. Hence, for the present at least, science rejects the attractive explanation that man made these mysterious prints in the mud of the Carboniferous period with his feet. End of quote. We found the following paragraph in Derek Isaac's book, Dragons or Dinosaurs. The statement was made by Samuel Hubbard, honorary curator of archaeology of the Oakland Museum. He, along with C.W. Gilmore, the curator of paleontology at the United States National Museum, and others, were on an expedition to the Havasupa Canyon to study pictographs, pictoglyphs, and artifacts left behind by ancient American Indians. Hubbard said the following. The fact that some prehistoric man made a pictograph of a dinosaur on the walls of this canyon upsets completely all of our theories regarding the antiquity of man. Facts are stubborn and immutable things. If theories do not square with the facts, then the theories must change. The facts remain. End of quote. God said, man said feature. Triceratops and more soft tissue shout yes to young earth. Did dinosaurs live in the memory of man? The following excerpts referring to human footprints are for the periodical Scientific American in an article written by Albert Engels titled The Carboniferous Mystery. On sites reaching from Virginia to Pennsylvania through Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, and westward toward the Rocky Mountains, prints similar to those shown above, he's referring to several accompanying pictures, and from 5 to 10 inches long, have been found on the surface of exposed rocks, and more keep turning up as the years go by. Roland Bird, a paleontologist from the American Museum of Natural History, examined rocks bearing remarkable human footprints that were discovered in a Cretaceous claimed to be around 100 million years old limestone formation near Glen Rose, Texas. The following is his statement as published in a 1939 issue of Natural History. Yes, they apparently were real enough, real as rock could be, the strangest things of their kind I had ever seen. On the surface of each was splayed the near likeness of a human footprint in every detail, but each imprint was 15 inches long. End of quote. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. End of quote. Louis Jacobs, author and former president of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, stated the implications of this powerful question of man and dinosaur coexistence. Such an association would dispel an earth with vast antiquity. The entire history of creation, including the day of rest, could be accommodated in the 7 biblical days of the Genesis myth. Evolution would be vanquished. End of quotes. God said, man said, Triceratops and more soft tissue shout yes to a young earth. Old records that read like a daily police blotter declare so matter-of-factly their encounters with the terrible lizards. The following accounts are documented by William Cooper in his book, After the Flood. The giant reptile at Burris in Suffolk, for example, is known to us from a chronicle of the year 1405. Close to the town of Burris near Sudbury, there has lately appeared, the great herd of the countryside, a dragon vast in body with a crested head, teeth like a saw, and a tail extending to an enormous length. Having slaughtered the shepherd of a flock, it devoured many sheep. After an unsuccessful attempt by local archers to kill the beast due to its impenetrable hide, in order to destroy him, all the country people around about were summoned. But when the dragon saw that he was again to be assailed with arrows, he fled into a marsh or mere, and there hid himself among the long reeds and was no more to be seen. And in another excerpt, the early Britons, from whom the modern Welsh are descended, provided us with our earliest surviving European accounts of reptilian monsters, one of whom killed and devoured King Morvidus in 336 B.C. We are told in the account translated for us by Geoffrey of Monmouth that the monster gulped down the body of Morvidus as a big fish swallows a little one. Geoffrey described the animal as a bilu. Concerning Isaiah's account of fiery flying serpents, the elderly people of Penland, England, spoke of them as late as the early 1900s. Maria Trevelyan tells us the following. The woods around Penland Castle, Glamorgan, had the reputation of being frequented by winged serpents, and these were the terror of the old and young alike. An aged inhabitant of Penland, who died a few years ago, said that in his boyhood, the winged serpents were described as very beautiful. They were coiled when in repose and looked as if they were covered in jewels of all sorts. Some of them had crests sparkling with all the colors of the rainbow. When disturbed, they glided swiftly, sparkling all over to their hiding places. When angry, they flew over people's heads with outspread wings bright and sometimes with eyes, too, like the feathers in a peacock's tail. He said it was no old story invented to frighten children, but a real fact. His father and uncle had killed some of them, for they were as bad as foxes for poultry. The old man attributed the extinction of the winged serpents to the fact that they were terrors in the farmyards and coverts. Again from Cooper's After the Flood. The last monster to be destroyed by Beowulf, and from which encounter Beowulf also died in the year A.D. 583, was a flying reptile which lived on a promontory overlooking the Sea of Hörnesnes on the southern side of Sweden. Now, the Saxons, and presumably the Danes, knew flying reptiles in general as Liftflogen, which means air flyers, and by this particular species of flying reptile, the specimen from Hörnesnes was known to them as Vidflaga, literally a wide or far-ranging flyer, and the description that they have left thus fits that of a giant pteranodon. Interestingly, the Saxons also described this creature as Ligdraka, or fire dragon, and he is described as 50 feet in length, or perhaps wingspan, and about 300 years of age. Great age is a common feature even among today's non-giant reptiles. Moreover, and of particular interest to us, the name Vidflaga would have distinguished this particular species, the flying reptile, from another similar species which was capable of making only short flights. Such a creature was portrayed in a shield boss from Sutton Hoo Burial, which shows a flying dragon with its wings folded along its sides. Its long, tooth-filled jaws are readily seen, and the shield boss can be seen to this day in its showcase at the British Museum. Modern paleontologists working from fossilized remains have named such a creature pterodactyl. In a 1793 statistical account of Scotland, a sober government report read, "In the end of November and beginning of December last, many of the country people observed dragons appearing in the north and flying rapidly towards the east, from which they concluded, and their conjectures were right, that boisterous weather would follow. Flying reptiles have been reported as recently as the early 1900s. Finally, from Cooper's book, likewise, the Völuspá tells of a certain monster which the early Vikings called a Nifhogger, its name, Corpse Terror, revealing the fact that it lived off of carrion. Saxo Grammaticus, in his Gesta Danorum, tells of the Danish king Frodo's fight with a giant reptile, and it is in the advice given by a local to the king and recorded by Saxo that the monster is described in great detail. It was, he says, a serpent wreathed in coils, doubled in many a fold, and with a tail drawn out in winding whorls, shaking his manifold spirals and shedding venom, his saliva, burns up what it bespatters. Yet he tells the king in words that were doubtless meant to encourage rather than to dismay, remember to keep the dauntless temper of thy mind. Not let the point of the jagged tooth trouble thee, nor the starkness of the beast, nor the venom. There is a place under his lowest belly whither thou mayest plunge the blade. End of quotes. God said, man said. Title, Fire-Breathing Dragons and Fiery Flying Serpents. Author John Whitcomb, in his book, The World That Perished, states, evolutionary scientists believe that dinosaurs became extinct many millions of years before men appeared on the earth, but the Bible indicates that men and dinosaurs have lived contemporaneously. And then Whitcomb, referring to articles in National Geographic, writes, scientific discovery confirms biblical revelation at this point. If we understand dinosaur in its original meaning of terrifying lizard, then dinosaurs are not yet extinct. About 1,000 huge dragon lizards still survive on the small Indonesian island of Komodo. Concerning the alligators, he writes, although they are now 99% extinct and seldom exceed 12 feet in length, the American alligator attained lengths of nearly 20 feet as recently as the turn of the 20th century. Only about 500 years ago, the Apurinus, a dinosaur bird nearly 10 feet tall and weighing a half a ton, still lived on the island of Madagascar. The time has come for a totally new perspective on dinosaurs in relation to Earth history and mankind. And relatively recent history, scores of sightings throughout England alone testify of dinosaur activity in places such as Northumberland, North Yorkshire, Wales, Scotland, West Sussex, Durham, Suffolk, Dragon Horde, and many more locations. To the surprise of many indigenous people of some of the world's tropical rainforest, they still testify of dinosaur-like creatures, and researchers have been looking into it. End of quotes. God Said, Man Said, title, Cockatrice. One new missing link candidate that did arrive was the Chinese chicken lizard. This was offered for public consumption as proof positive, the missing link, proof that reptiles evolved into birds. This first chicken lizard, much to the chagrin of the promoters, and evolution's darling National Geographic, was proven to be a forgery. Just recently, a new bird lizard was found also in China. Mai Long, which is Chinese for soundly sleeping dragon, is also being portrayed as proof of evolution. A science writer for Discover magazine, Jesse F. Netting, said, Mai Long's slumber provides rare evidence of a behavior linking dinosaurs to their living bird relatives, end of quote. Of course, the purpose of this purported missing link is to give credibility to evolution and to discredit God's 6,000-plus-year-old Earth. This fossilized bird lizard, if not again proven to be a hoax, is just another example of unearthing one of God's largely extinct creations. The Bible knows this part bird, part reptile, as a cockatrice. Isaiah chapter 14, 29, rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. In ancient literature, the cockatrice, hailed as the king of the serpents, was a creature that possessed both dragon and rooster features. Noah Webster's original 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language defines cockatrice in the word basilisk. It reads, a fabulous serpent called a cockatrice and said to be produced from a cock's egg brooded by a serpent. The ancients alleged that its hissing would drive away all other serpents and that its breath and even its look was fatal. Some writers suppose that a real serpent exists under this name. End of quotes. The word of God declares, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. The paleontologists have not discovered a missing link, but merely an extinct or nearly extinct creation of God. It is not millions and millions of years old, but rather in the time of man's memory. The concept of a flying reptile is not news to the scriptures. It is man's unbelief in hypotheticals that has created the concept of long ages, not science, not facts, not truth. Extinct creatures such as the unicorn, dragon, and dinosaur have a way of popping up, much to the consternation of evolutionists. Evolutionists should prepare themselves for more of God's shock and awe, end of quotes. God Said, Man Said, title, Carbon 14 in Genesis 1, in the beginning. In the God Said, Man Said feature, Radiometric Dating in 6,000 Years, Part 3, you'll find the following. This final installment in the three-part series on radiometric dating and its long age displays the sinking sand of evolutionary theory. In this series, God Said, Man Said reviews a feature written by renowned geologist Dr. Andrew Snelling, published by Answers Magazine in the October-December 2009 issue. In this feature titled Radiometric Dating, Problems with the Assumptions, Snelling lays out the Achilles heel of today's radiometric dating. A few paragraphs from the previous features are needed here, and they follow. In Feature 1, under the heading of Assumption 1, Conditions at Time Zero, Dr. Snelling points out the problem of assumptions and cites a sampling of erroneous dates that assumption produces. Example number 1, 23-year-old lava from America's Mount St. Helens crater, which was observed to form and cool in 1986, posted a calculated age of 350,000 years, or a difference of 15,200 times. Example 2. Mount Nagaruho in New Zealand, with lava flows less than 50 years old, yield ages up to 3.5 million years, or 70,000 times older than their observed dates. Assumption 2. No contamination also produces ridiculous long-age dating. Example, due to obvious contamination issues, New Zealand's Mount Nagaruho 50-year-old lava flows display a rubidium-strontium age of 133 million years, a samarium-neodymium age of 197 million years, and a uranium-lead age of 3.908 billion years. Using the last number, radiometric dating is 78,160,000 times too high. End of quotes. In September of 2015, Drackel Vollins made his debut to the world. One headline read, "Drackel Vollins, the tiny dragon discovered in Indonesia." Another headline published by the University of Michigan Museum of Zoology read, "Drackel Vollins, common flying dragon." A few excerpts from Wikipedia follow. Its wings are brightly covered with orange, red, and blue spots and stripes, and they provide a camouflage when folded. The flying dragon can reach a total length of up to 23 centimeters, 9.1 inches. Others report lengths to 1 foot. It feeds on arboreal ants and termites. First classified in 1758, it was involved in a small sensation in 2015 when poor journalism led to reports that it had only very recently been discovered. The flying dragon does not give live birth. During the breeding season, one adult female will venture down to the forest floor and lay 1 to 5 eggs, which it buries in the soil. The number of eggs usually depends on how good that particular lizard's habitat and surroundings are. A flying dragon's eggs can take anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks to hatch. A flying dragon hatchling will weigh about 2 grams, depending on how good the conditions were while laying eggs and other factors. The female flying dragon will only guard her nest for at the most a couple of days before abandoning the nest. She does not return very often to care for her young. The flying dragon's lifespan is currently unknown. End of quotes. Prior to Noah's flood, the Bible records man's lifespan to be an average of 911 years, or about 13 times longer than today. Keep in mind that a reptile never stops growing and that a big reptile is an old reptile. Note, reptiles keep growing regardless of their age, but at a slower rate. But for example's sake, Drackel Vollins, before the flood, living 13 times longer, eating perfect food, breathing perfect air, and drinking perfect water. Let's assume he grew 13 times longer, he would be up to 13 feet long. If he could travel through the air 13 times farther, he would travel up to 390 feet in one sortie, more than the length of a football field. The deceivableness of unrighteousness is a deadly global pandemic. The antidote is Jesus Christ the righteous. We exist and have our being in Him, in His faith. Choose life and live. The Bible is the truth. God said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God said, Romans 1, verses 21 and 22, "Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God said, Isaiah 14, verse 29, Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. God said, Jeremiah 51, 34, Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Man said, to imagine that the ancient writings of the Bible could compete with today's sophisticated science is simply absurd. Thoughts that only children would entertain. Now you have the record.